Well, hello there, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and the founder of the website betterhealthwhileaging.net. And this is the Better Health While Aging video podcast, where we discuss common health issues that affect people over age 60 and the best ways to prevent and manage those problems. In today's episode, I want to talk about an issue that I get asked about a lot. It is something that affects older adults very often, especially in warmer months, and that is dehydration. So specifically, in today's episode, I want to talk about what is dehydration, what does it mean to be dehydrated, and then I want to talk about the common causes in older adults and why older adults become more at risk as they get older. I'm also going to cover signs and symptoms of dehydration, how it's diagnosed, what are the consequences health-wise, how to treat it, and then I'm going to end with tips on hydration prevention and also a couple suggestions about managing hot weather. Older adults do get dehydrated when we don't have particularly hot weather, but it's also an issue that comes up a lot in the summer months and when there are heat waves. And so I'll speak a little bit about what to look out for during those times as well. So we're going to get to that. But before we do, I just have a very quick request, which is that if you are here and you find this topic interesting, or you've been finding my video podcast interesting, if you haven't subscribed yet, could you please go ahead and subscribe? It would mean a lot to me. It really does help me out, as it helps other people find the channel when you subscribe, and it does help support the work that I'm doing. So moving on, what is dehydration? So dehydration fundamentally means that the body doesn't have as much fluid within the cells and blood vessels as it should for optimal functioning. So we have a lot of water and fluid in our body, both within cells and in the spaces between cells and in our actual blood vessels. And sometimes we end up in a situation where we don't have as much as we should. Generally, we've lost some of our body water. And without enough water, our cells and body start to function less well. The more we're lacking, the worse that is. And to better understand this, I think it can be helpful to understand how the body normally works. So a normal, healthy, functioning body is doing this to keep us hydrated. We're basically often taking in fluid through what we eat and drink. As humans, we generally need to be drinking every day, and it's good for us to be eating every day as well. And then it's totally normal for us to be losing fluid every day. We lose it through urination, also through sweating, and also we lose a certain amount of it through our bowels. And if we're having runnier or looser stools, we might be losing more of it than we otherwise would. So the body is actually designed to go through these shifts and has sensors to kind of bring things back to the way it should be. And so when it comes to maintaining your fluid status, to maintaining hydration, your body does have systems to sense low hydration and to make adjustments. And so usually the adjustments that it will make, if it senses that hydration is getting a little low, is it will signal thirst to the brain. And so then you'll go and start thinking, I'm thirsty, I want to drink something, let me go look for something to drink. And it will also make signals to the kidneys, who will then start to concentrate the urine. And when your body wants to retain fluid, it will normally retain sodium because the water and fluid sort of stay with the sodium and then they get retained as well. And that's a big part of how the kidneys concentrate the urine more. So dehydration happens when those systems either get overwhelmed, they can't compensate as well, or maybe they're not working as well as they used to. So why are older adults at risk? So it turns out that as we get older, our mechanisms to prevent dehydration tend to work less well. So specifically, as we get older, we don't feel that thirsty signal as easily as we did before. And also, our kidneys, for various reasons, often become less effective at concentrating urine. Plus, older adults are especially likely to be experiencing other issues that can often interfere with maintaining hydration or correcting the situation if you start to become a little bit low on fluid. So one big cause of this is medications. There are lots of medications out there that tend to cause people to lose fluid or maybe don't make them as thirsty. So for instance, medications such as diuretics, which are often taken for heart failure and other conditions. There is also now a more popular type of diabetes medication. They are called sodium glucose cotransporter inhibitors, but they are abbreviated SGLT2 inhibitors. And they work for diabetes because they cause people to put glucose in their urine. But when glucose is coming out of your urine, your body also sends more fluid out with it. So these do lower people's blood sugars and can also be helpful for people who have diabetes and heart failure. And they also are kind of dehydrating. Another common situation that many older adults find themselves in is that they might be drinking less because they are having urinary continence concerns. So at some point, I will do another episode about urinary incontinence. It's another super common condition that affects older adults. But often if people have been having some difficulty with leaks, with accidents, with wetness, part of the way they compensate, especially if they're going to be going out, is to drink less. And so that, again, means they're taking in less and they are more likely to end up in this situation where their body doesn't have quite enough fluid. Another situation might be if they are running a high blood glucose, they might have diabetes, they may or may not know they have diabetes. Once your blood sugar is above a certain threshold, your kidneys can't keep it in the body, it starts spilling out. And this can happen even when people aren't on medication to make this happen on purpose. So that can be a form of diuresis that can make people dehydrated, and we do see that in older adults sometimes. Another condition that can affect hydration status would be memory problems. Some people are having trouble with their memory and they just might forget to drink unless somebody's really reminding them or putting a glass in front of them. Other older adults suffer from mobility problems. It's really hard to get to the faucet or get a drink. And we see this especially that some dehydration is common in people living in nursing homes because those are the older adults who are especially likely to be suffering from either mobility difficulties or memory difficulties or both. Then some older adults might have difficulty swallowing. That can also make it hard to take in enough fluid. So those are some of the risk factors for dehydration, and they all tend to become more common as we get older. So what causes dehydration in older adults? The most common sort of precipitating causes, one is having an acute illness. So especially anything that causes vomiting or diarrhea, because you lose a lot of fluids that way. Or if you're running a fever, you can sweat more and you can lose fluids that way. And then another common cause of dehydration in older adults would be hot weather. Lastly, anything that increases the bodily fluids lost or decreases fluids taken in. So we might also see dehydration if an older person has fallen and maybe couldn't get up and was down in their home for hours and hours. We might find them dehydrated for that reason because they weren't able to get up and take in the fluids that they needed. Overall, I would say that it's fairly common to see mild cases of dehydration. This has been studied especially in nursing homes where they found that quite a significant proportion of the residents sometimes appear to be mildly dehydrated. It can be easily overlooked because, as I'll explain, symptoms of mild dehydration can include things like weakness, fatigue, confusion. And in certain subsets of older adults, those might be common symptoms in general. So it can be hard to tell whether that is due to dehydration or something else going on. And then there's moderate dehydration. And I'll talk a little bit more about, you know, mild versus moderate later in this episode. Moderate in part means that, basically it means that you've lost a more substantial amount of fluid. Your symptoms might be more significant and it might take more to treat you than just drinking a little bit more at home. That is usually caused by some kind of obvious illness that's really making somebody throw up or have the runs, or by some kind of, you know, incident. They were either some, you know, outside somewhere really hot for a while, or, you know, again, maybe they fell and they were down and not able to access, you know, water or care for a while. So what are the signs and symptoms of dehydration? Physical symptoms can include things like this, dry mouth or dry skin in the armpits, a high heart rate, over 100 beats per minute. That's because as people get dehydrated, their blood pressure may be going down and the heart tries to compensate by speeding up if it's able to. They might have, again, low blood pressure or lower than usual blood pressure. They might be feeling dizzy, especially when they stand up. They might be feeling weak. They might have new or worse confusion. We see this a lot in people who already have pre-existing memory problems or a diagnosis, but occasionally in somebody who we thought was fine, that might be the symptom that they develop. They might have less frequent urination if they're tracking that kind of thing. Their urine might look very dark colored. That can sometimes be a sign that it's being concentrated. if we're weighing them often, we might notice that they've lost some weight because lost water weight shows up quite quickly. So these are some of the signs and symptoms that we might see. However, what's really important to know if you're concerned about an older person being dehydrated, whether it's yourself or someone else, is that the presence or absence of these signs are not reliable ways to detect dehydration. This has been studied in older adults and shown. And there are a couple reasons for this. One is that older adults can easily have developed these signs for other reasons that are not due to dehydration. The other is that some of these signs, like dry mouth or dry skin, are more likely to reflect dehydration in a younger person. And in fact, there's one sign that we use in younger people, but we don't use in older people, which is the elasticity of the skin, right? You can use that in a younger person, but because as we get older, our skin becomes less elastic in general, it becomes not a very reliable sign that the person actually is dehydrated. So you may be wondering, if those signs and symptoms aren't reliable, how do we diagnose dehydration? And I'm going to tell you about the official method, but first I'm going to tell you about a very quick method that we do use sometimes in geriatrics. So one kind of quick and dirty thing that we sometimes try and does work often for, or suggestive, I should say, of mild dehydration is to have an older person drink a big glass of water and see if they perk up. And what is fascinating is that often if an older person is mildly dehydrated, just drinking a big glass of water, if you sit there with them, often within like 10 minutes, they actually visibly look more alert and sharper and will say that they feel better. Now, I've noticed this working, especially with people who are kind of frail and maybe a little bit confused to begin with. But I do think it's something to know about and something that you can potentially try. Otherwise, to really diagnose dehydration, we do have to consider laboratory testing combined with the history, the story of what's been going on. And we will usually also do a physical exam to check. That's partly also to check for other common conditions that might cause some of those symptoms that maybe have been noticed. Dehydration does often, almost always actually, it should cause some abnormalities on blood tests and other laboratory tests, such as one would be increased something that's called plasma serum osmolality. Basically, relates to the concentration of particles in the blood, because if you don't have enough fluid, then that concentration will generally go up. Most of the time, it will cause an increase in creatinine. That is something that is part of the basic metabolic panel that is ordered. I will be doing another episode soon on basic lab tests as well. And blood urea nitrogen. So both of these substances relate to kidney function and to how well the kidney is able to process. And so as we get dehydrated, the kidney processes a little bit less well, and those substances will go up. It's also quite common when there's dehydration, especially significant dehydration, for the blood sodium level to be abnormal. Most common is that it will go up. Occasionally, there are certain forms of dehydration where they're actually dehydrated, but their sodium might be lower than normal as well, or even at a normal level. Another thing we often see is if people are dehydrated and they've lost fluid, their hematocrit and hemoglobin levels. So those are part of the complete blood cell count, what we call the CBC. And if you'd like to learn more about the CBC, I talk about it in my video about anemia. So that tends to go up when people are dehydrated. And that's because, again, they've lost fluid. And so the number of red blood cells is effectively more concentrated in the bloodstream. So sometimes what happens is somebody comes in and they actually have a normal level for their hematocrit and hemoglobin, but they're dehydrated. And once their fluids are replaced, we actually discover that they are mildly anemic. That does happen. And then in the urine, what they will see with dehydration is generally going to be a low urine sodium concentration. Now, that's assuming the person is not on diuretics, because the way that many diuretics actually work is they allow your kidneys to let more sodium out into the urine, and then fluid follows the sodium because of the kind of physiology of the renal tubules. Now, sometimes people want to know, well, can't you check with the urine dipstick and see if the urine is very concentrated and doesn't, you know, isn't that a sign of dehydration? So if it is quite concentrated, that is suggestive. However, We don't want to assume that an older person might not be dehydrated just because they don't have that, because we do know that some older adults can't concentrate their urine very effectively. So even though they might be dehydrated, their urine might still be not very concentrated, actually. That might be part of why they're getting dehydrated, in fact. So what happens if somebody remains dehydrated? How bad is that for their health and well-being? So the consequences of mild to moderate dehydration usually include things like this. The person feels fatigued. They might have low blood pressure or also orthostatic blood pressure drops. That's when the blood pressure drops when you stand up. And if you'd like to learn more about low blood pressure, I do have a video that covers that. They might be more confused than usual or feel kind of foggy. They can also get, again, blood electrolyte abnormalities, which in of themselves can cause certain other things to malfunction in the body. Often when blood electrolytes are abnormal, people can feel muscle cramps or weakness. Being dehydrated also affects kidney function. I mean, generally, the kidneys will function less well as hydration levels go further and further down. So mildly dehydrated might cause a mild decrease in kidney function, and more significant dehydration can cause a significant decrease in kidney function. Chronic mild dehydration has also been associated with a few other conditions, such as constipation, because if you don't have enough fluid, it's going to get very dry in the bowels, and it's very hard to move that stool. And it's also been associated with kidney stones, especially in people who are otherwise prone to kidney stones. And then what happens if you have more severe dehydration? So then what we can see is actual kidney failure. It's called acute kidney failure, where the kidneys are so lacking in enough fluid that they really start to shut down. That can be quite serious. People can also develop more significant metabolic abnormalities that can actually affect the way their heart is functioning. And when it gets really severe, we can even see seizures and coma. So it's important to detect dehydration, especially if it's at the moderate or more level. And a good idea to also detect it when it's mild. And how do we want to treat it? So how we treat it really depends, first of all, on whether it's mild, moderate, or severe. Also depends on what type of electrolyte imbalances we see when we do some lab testing. And then it'll depend on the underlying cause of dehydration. Of course, part of what we want to do is correct that underlying cause if at all possible. Otherwise, the treatment for mild dehydration is generally going to be oral fluids. So probably ideal is fluid that contains some electrolytes, so something like a sports drink, juice, a rehydration solution. But even water or tea will also be very helpful in most cases. And then if it's moderate dehydration, so we're really seeing an impact on electrolytes, kidney function, low blood pressure, or if we're worried that the person can't take in enough orally by mouth, then that would be treated with IV hydration, which can be done sometimes in urgent care, but can definitely be done in the emergency room or in the hospital. And then occasionally, if there's really severe dehydration that has really impacted the kidneys, that can actually sometimes require short-term dialysis or other forms of intensive medical support to get people through it. So given that, what should you do if you suspect dehydration? So my first question to you would be, well, are you actually noticing symptoms, or are you just worried about it because you think you're not drinking enough, or maybe you think your spouse isn't drinking enough or your parent isn't drinking enough? And it's true that sometimes there are kind of mild symptoms, you know, again, which might be like some fatigue, some weakness, you know, maybe being a little less sharp than usual or a little more forgetful than usual or feeling a little foggy. So sometimes we're not sure if we're really noticing symptoms or not. But in general, if you think you might be noticing symptoms, unless the person seems really unwell, I would say we'll try drinking some more water and seeing if you see that sort of improvement. You know, which generally you should be seeing it, I would say, you know, within 15 to 20 minutes. We often see it sooner. And then if you have access to a blood pressure machine, checking the blood pressure and pulse, if possible, to see how it compares to your usual, if you know it, I would recommend that. And then I would say, yeah, consider a medical evaluation. Because again, symptoms such as weakness, confusion, or falls can easily be caused by any of a number of other medical problems. I mean, we could see this with anemia. We could see this, you know, with infection. We could see it with medication side effects. I mean, there are all kinds of possibilities. So I think it can be a good idea to go in and get medically evaluated. And also, if for some reason it's found that the person actually has moderate dehydration, they might need IV fluids. You also really want to consider a medical evaluation if there's been like a really obvious loss of fluids, right? So if the person has been throwing up or having diarrhea for a while and is really weak, you want to get help with that. Or if you found them down for hours and hours and now they're really weak and unsteady when you try to get them up, they should probably almost certainly be medically evaluated as well. You know, it's really better to do that. Now, what if you're not noticing significant symptoms? You just have this feeling of like, am I drinking enough water? You know, or is my partner drinking enough water? So in that case, what I would suggest is, you know, first of all, try actually measuring the daily fluid intake. I often have people bring up to me that they're worried about dehydration, but then when I ask, well, how much are you actually taking in or how much is your spouse taking in? They're not sure. So keeping a little diary of this can be really helpful when, if you bring this to the attention of a health provider. And then ideally, you know, if you're also able to track urine outputs as well, you can actually get these little, there's sort of like an upside down hat thing, inserts like it put into the toilet so you can, you know, measure what's coming out. That can be helpful as well. Checking again, blood pressure and pulse, getting a sense of where that's been at, how it compares to the way you were before. You can also weigh a person daily for a couple of days, see how that compares to their usual weight. And then next, you have a couple options. You know, one is to try increasing the daily fluids and see if you notice any change in well-being, you know, mental sharpness, cognition, blood pressure. If nothing changes, then probably the issue was not that there was some mild dehydration that was being overlooked. But if several things seem better, then yeah, you know, maybe there was some mild dehydration. You can start thinking about how you can now continue to maintain a little bit higher fluid intake. And then there's also the possibility of bringing this to the attention of your health provider, coming in for an evaluation, asking for some laboratory testing to get a little bit more insight into what might be going on with your fluid status. So let me now talk about preventing dehydration. How can we prevent dehydration? So the ideal is to take steps to support an older person in maintaining adequate hydration under their normal living conditions. So it's hard to say exactly how much fluid each of us should be taking in every day, but you know, when I look it up, you know, one statistic that is cited is that the average person should maybe aim for 7 to 8 cups of water per day. I think it's 1.7 liters. Frequent small amounts are often easier for people to take in than, you know, chugging like a really big quantity 3 times a day. And it can be a good idea to focus on what fluids are appealing for this person to take in, right? Some people are not so into water, but really like the taste of other drinks. And can we give that to them if it's, you know, or can we find a healthy option that that fits in with that if we're worried about their sugar intake or, you know, artificial flavors or something like that? A lot of fruit has quite high water content, you know, things like watermelon. You can try that as well. Another important step that often helps older adults take in more fluid is to treat and manage any urinary incontinence or concerns about it that they might have. How to do that, I'm planning to do another video about that soon, but I do have an article on better health while aging that goes into that, and I'll share it in the show notes if you want more information about that. If we're talking about an older person who has memory problems or mobility issues, thinking about how we can support them and maybe create a little bit more, you know, structure to make sure that they're regularly accessing the fluids that they need. It's also can be a good idea to talk to your pharmacist or health provider and find out if you are on any medications that increase your risk of dehydration. If so, do you need to stay on them? Or are there other steps you can take to mitigate the dehydration risk that comes with those medications? At this point, I should point out that you want to be careful about alcohol. It has lots of impacts on health. So it's good to be, you know, cautious about alcohol in general, but it is also a diuretic. So we want to keep that in mind. Now, people often also ask about caffeine, you know, being a diuretic or think they need to cut out coffee. This has been studied and it's actually not clear that, especially people, when people are used to caffeine, that it has a very strong diuretic effect. It's worth thinking about because lots of people really enjoy their coffee or caffeinated beverages. So for those people, first of all, they could potentially switch to decaffeinated if what they enjoy is the flavor or the feel about it. But we also don't know that that is all that dehydrating to people. So just something to keep in mind. before you take away, you know, a drink that somebody is really enjoying. And then the other thing you want to think about is how you can proactively increase hydration during an illness or during hot weather. So speaking of hot weather, let me now talk about managing hot weather because it's something that comes up, especially in the summer. As you know, it's become not uncommon for us to have heat waves nowadays in the summer. They're actually starting to happen earlier in the year and they can happen quite late into the fall. And so when that happens, you know, how can we manage to stay safe given the risks of hot weather? Because hot weather definitely increases not only the risk of dehydration, but also of heat stroke. So this has been shown multiple times that when we have heat waves, a lot of older people are affected. We see higher death rates among older people, and they also come into emergency rooms, especially if they are brought in. Why is this? Aging reduces the sweat response, and then again, also reduces thirst signals, and our bodies might be less able to concentrate our urine and hold on to the fluid. And then just heat stress, for anybody who already has some cardiovascular disease or cardiovascular risks, they tend to have more events when the weather is hot because the heat stresses the body and its compensatory systems and can tip people over into acute illness or having an event. Let me now say a few words about heat stroke in particular. So what is heat stroke? Heat stroke is a condition where one ends up with an elevated core body temperature, often above 104 degrees. And at that temperature, your body can't continue to function normally, especially if it didn't put itself into that temperature for fever reasons. And so we start to see what's called central nervous system dysfunction, which means, you know, the brain starts to malfunction in different ways, including in the way that it controls the rest of the body. So why does this happen? Usually because there's a high heat load and our body's systems for managing it are overwhelmed, either because it's so, so hot or because the systems we have maybe don't work as well as they did when we were younger. So the symptoms, you know, are again, have a lot of overlap with dehydration. They can include confusion, weakness, dizziness, low blood pressure, high heart rate. But how you know it is heat stroke is that if you check the person's temperature, especially, you know, with a thermometer in the rectum, possibly, you know, their armpit, you should see that they are quite a bit warmer than they should be. So this is a really important condition to recognize because it is potentially fatal. So it's important to identify it and start treatment promptly. And the treatment generally includes cooling the person off. If their temperature has really gotten up there above 104, just putting them in an air-conditioned room is not enough. You really want to take them to get medical attention where more intensive cooling measures can be pursued. So given all that, some suggestions for managing hot weather, in case you're watching this during the summertime, I'm actually recording this right now in late June. So first and foremost, really, really helpful to stay in air-conditioned indoor spaces. So often they see heat stress and heat stroke happening to people who didn't have air conditioning available where they were, either because they live somewhere where it doesn't usually get hot enough for air conditioning, you know, which is the case for many dwellings, for instance, in, you know, San Francisco, where I am, or maybe their air conditioning, you know, was broken. Or sometimes people have swamp coolers instead of air conditioning, but if it's very humid outside, you know, it doesn't provide effective cooling. So some places where people can go if their home isn't sufficiently air conditioned, libraries, shopping centers. Cities will also often open cooling centers when there is a heat wave. And then you want to be drinking more than usual. You don't want to wait until you're thirsty to drink. Drinking fluids that are cooler, you know, can help a little bit as well. Wear loose, lightweight clothing. And then we also, as you know, a community, want to think about providing additional monitoring and support to anyone who has memory or mobility issues. So if you yourself have mobility issues, asking friends to check in on you, or if you know you have some memory problems, asking friends to check in on you can be helpful. Or if you have somebody in your life or family who you know has those issues, creating some kind of system to check on them more, or maybe make sure they're in a place that's going to be cooler and where somebody can be offering them enough to drink. That can be helpful as well. And then finally, if an older adult is showing signs of dehydration or heat stroke, err on the safe side. If the weather's been really hot, get them in for a medical evaluation to make sure that they're okay and that they don't need additional medical intervention. So that's what I had for today. So to recap, dehydration occurs when the body loses more water than it takes in and ends up not having enough fluid for optimal function. And this especially happens to older adults because as we age, our compensatory mechanisms, such as, you know, getting thirsty when we're dehydrated and concentrating our urine, those mechanisms end up working less well as we get older. Older adults are also especially likely to be experiencing other things that increase their risk of dehydration, such as medications that cause them to lose a lot of fluid, continence concerns that can interfere with them feeling comfortable drinking as much as they should, memory issues, mobility issues. These are all things that increase the risk of dehydration. There are no physical signs that reliably indicate dehydration. Symptoms that are common include weakness, dizziness, confusion, low blood pressure. These can be caused by dehydration, but also by many other health problems as well. So it can be hard to suss out whether it's dehydration. And if you're noticing an older person who has a lot of those signs, they should probably get evaluated. Dehydration is usually diagnosed based on the history, sort of, you know, talking to the person or their care circle and identifying that there have been factors that are causing them to not take in as much fluid as they should or that are causing them to lose a lot of fluid. And then we confirm it with laboratory testing, suggesting that the body doesn't have as much fluid as it needs. You can also consider checking for mild dehydration by offering an older person more fluids and seeing if they noticeably perk up within 15 minutes. And if they do, you may not need to bring them in. You can just keep them drinking and sort of keep an eye on them. Because again, for mild dehydration, that is usually the treatment, is to just take in more fluids orally if possible. So treatment depends on the severity. Mild, we treat with oral fluids, but moderate might require IV hydration. And if it's severe, it might require even more than that to help the kidneys recover. If you suspect dehydration or are seeing symptoms, consider a medical evaluation again, especially if you don't see visible improvement once you've given them some extra oral fluids and, you know, given it 15, 20 minutes or half an hour to kick in. To prevent dehydration, take steps to maintain adequate hydration under normal conditions. So aiming for 7 to 8 cups a day, frequent small amounts, treating managing urinary incontinence. Take additional steps to support those with memory mobility issues. Check to see if there are any medications involved that might increase the risk. Be careful with alcohol because it's a diuretic, maybe with caffeine. And then you want to proactively increase hydration during illness or hot weather. And during hot weather, also take steps to stay cool and avoid heat stress and heat stroke. So with that, thank you so much for watching. And if you found this video podcast helpful, if you're here on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe. It does help more people find the channel. If you have been listening to the audio version on the podcast feed, please come and take a look at the video if you get a chance. You'll see my key points being displayed on the screen. So thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you all again on a future episode of the Better Health While Aging video podcast.